Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, we're in between series right now, and if you've had a chance to be with us for any length of time, you know I love to do series on the portraits of God. And the Lord has just put on my heart to kind of do some standalone overviews of some of our series. And as we're heading into the summer, when children will be home from school and more underfoot, the series that He put on my heart, just to kind of give you an overview, was one we did actually last year about this time, an 8-part series called He is Our Family Pastor. So we're going to just take a journey and taking a peek at that, giving you the flavor of that series. But this standalone time together today will kind of help you get all geared up for a wonderful summer with your children, when we all know things can get a little hectic sometimes. And this is just going to be a fresh reminder about how the Lord is our family pastor and models for us how children are to be treasured, just like He treasures them. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to actually be all over the place in this overview. And I'm actually going to see if we can reach the 20 subpoints of this series, just to give you a peek of how the Lord is our family pastor. And just a reminder that these series and broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God, and you can go to that landing page and just click on the broadcast box, and then on Portraits of God series, and then you can start scrolling for the different series that we have done together. So as we get started, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so honored to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet. Lord, we get to go through Your love letters to us, the Scriptures, and just see so many portraits of what You're like, Your heart, Your character, Lord. And today, as we take a brief journey through how You are our family pastor and how You want to instill that in us and work through us to walk in this kind of way and with this kind of heart when it comes to children, I just pray I'll be able to do it justice. So thank You, Lord, for the privilege of taking a journey through Your love letters about how You are our family pastor. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you're a note taker, I'll try to make it clear as we go along, as we look at how the Lord is our family pastor who yearns for us to know these 20 things. Number one, families are amazingly varied. Families are amazingly varied. You know, sometimes we, those of us that are preachers or preaching on, you know, family, we think, okay, two parents and a couple of kids or so, but there are so many different kinds of families we have to think through. For example, we have Moses over in Numbers chapter 2, verse 33. The Bible says, "Thus the Lord commanded Moses, and so they camped by their standard, each one by his family." That shows you how God is family-oriented. Mark 3:31 talks about how Jesus's mother and brother arrived. When you think about Jesus, well, he kind of had a stepfather, didn't he? Yeah, I mean, he had the heavenly father, but then he had his earthly father, and then he had half-brothers who had that earthly father while Jesus had a heavenly father. So that's a different kind of family. It's a blended family when you stop and think about it. That's Mark 3:31. Esther 2:7, it says, "And Mordecai had brought up Esther." That was an uncle. They were in the exilic period, and they were off and in a foreign land, and Esther and Mordecai were the family, an uncle and a niece. And what about Ruth, chapter 1, verse 22? "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, was with her." So a family in that context was mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law. Then we have Acts 16, verse 1, Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. And then it talks about having dwelt first with his grandmother Lois and then the mother Eunice. And so there you have a grandmother and a mother and a young boy and Jewish, but yet the father was Greek, and studies and shows that he was in and out a lot. So there are families like that. The point is, there are many different types of families in the Bible. Step families, foster families, their relatives, their guardians and all. So keep that in mind, that families are amazingly varied. And if you are not the traditional structure of a family, maybe you're a single parent and you feel like you're the oddball or something. Listen, there are all kinds of families. Families are amazingly varied, and God loves each and every family. He is our family pastor. Well, number two, not only are families amazingly varied, but children are our top priority, like Jesus. Matthew 18:4, verses 4 and 5. Children are top priority like Jesus. Look at this here. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Well, there you go. I mean, he will see later how he would say to his disciples, let the kids come to me. Don't block them, you know. But here he's saying, look, you receive a little child. You really treasure and cherish and receive a little child like that, it's like receiving me. That's how much of a top priority they are. My friends, sometimes when in those busy parenting years, you know, we raised our sons long ago. Now they're raising their children with some lovely young ladies that are their wives, and we're watching them in the child rearing years. You know, they can become, sometimes we can treat them like a nuisance or a pet or a secondary importance because of other things we want to do. No, they're a top priority. They're to be cherished and received and nourished and loved. That's the heart of the Lord. Number three, children are to be seriously protected. Children are to be seriously protected. Matthew 18:6. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. My friend, we're living in a day when children, they're being hunted. You know, the trafficking is rampant all over the world, trafficking children. There's abuse that's rampant. Of course, the whole abortion industry, we got to protect children when they're in the womb. The womb was designed by God to be the safest place for a child to develop. Now we've made it the most dangerous place and made it legal to take their lives from their mother's wombs. You know, once they're out of the womb, we can't. They call it infanticide. So why is it that the location being on the inside of the womb makes it okay to take their lives? They're to be seriously protected. And then the LGBTQ agendas in the schools wanting to transfer their ideologies into the hearts of these kids. You know, children are to be seriously protected. Number four, children are supernaturally guarded. This is another expression of the Lord as our family pastor. Children are to be supernaturally guarded. I like Matthew 18:10. It says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father. Now, there's been a lot of speculation about what this actually means. Does every child have a guardian angel and stuff? You know, I think of the movie It's a Wonderful Life, the guardian angel there. Well, we can't get to the point we can nail down particulars, but in heart and in spirit, God loves children so much. He's so much of a family pastor, a family shepherd, a family father, that the angels, their angels, these children's angels, are watching over them, and they always see the face of the Father. I just love that. I remember a painting my parents had in our room when we were a little boy about a guardian angel behind a little boy, little girl walking over a bridge, you know, and it was just it was encouragement to know that God cares. His angels were keeping watch. Number five. Remember, we're looking at a list of 20 in this overview of a series, an 8-part series I did a year ago about this time. By the way, that was series number 102. Just in case you go looking for it at my website at markpg.org, have series number 102, and it's 8 parts, A, B, C, D, and so forth. We come to number 5. Children are to be joyfully welcomed. Do you joyfully welcome your children? Do you have that heart for them? They're a delight to you. And I know sometimes things can get hairy. We know that and busy. But overall, is there a spirit of joyfully welcoming them, the privilege of being their parent, the joy of having them as your child? Matthew 19, verses 13 through 14, puts it this way. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So the Lord said, "Let them come, let them come." I used to love our children's sermons. When I was pastoring for, 35 years, I'd have them come up on the stage every Sunday. And the story I told them was related to the sermon. But I love them coming to sit at my feet so I could just share a story. Then we send them off to children's church at that point to for that theme to be built in children's church while I shared the message at our church. It's a wonderful time. Children are to be joyfully welcomed. Number 6, children are to be closely gathered. Children are to be closely gathered. Matthew 23:37. Gives us this marvelous picture. Oh, Jesus saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." This is a mother motif here in how the Lord, our family pastor, and a mother is a family pastor too, overseeing, taking care of, covering. And I love this picture of how the Lord, our family pastor, in this mother metaphor, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Do your children sense that from you, that you are gathering them closely, you've got them covered, you're taking care of them? You've heard the stories about mother hens putting their wings around children with a fire, or their little chicks with fire to protect them. Oh, my soul. Let's cultivate the kind of heart of a family pastor that Jesus has, that the Lord God has, the Father has, to closely gather our children. May they feel that from us. Number 7, children are to be cherished for generations. Children are to be cherished for generations. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The best inheritance you can leave to your children and their children's children is not so much the money, though it's good to do that, be able to help them out that way, but it's your heritage. It's your walk with the Lord. It's your heart for the Lord. It's your journey with the Lord. You're passing it on to the next generation. Children are to be cherished for generations. We're to think ahead. We're to pour into them so that their children's children can also receive the blessings of generational blessing. Oh, I love that. Number 8, children are to be led to bless others. Do you lead your children to bless others, to appreciate others in their lives? Listen to Proverbs 31. Verses 27 through 28, describing the Proverbs 31 woman, the wife, the mother of the home. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. The husband also. Husbands, dads, we're to train our children to honor mom. We're to train them to honor each other. No rivalries. We bond. We stick together. We are to understand that our role as a family pastor is to see that children are to be led to bless others, not tolerate others or fight others or have feuds with others. No, we're to teach them that family is our most important relational connections on earth, to cultivate and to bless one another. Moms, dads, kids with each other. Wow, I love that. Number 9, the Lord is our family pastor who yearns for us to know. Children are to be taught as a lifestyle. Children, do you teach them as a lifestyle? Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7 puts it this way. And these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Well, that's a lifestyle right there, my friends. So, you know, homeschooling is a way of doing that. That doesn't mean you can't access other schools, but be involved. Whether you choose private schooling, Christian schooling, a church school, or even public school, be involved. Be part of the process. Don't just drop them off and say, professionals will handle it. There are ideologies. There are secular ideologies that are being passed on in those schools if they're in public schools, and you need to do a lot of debriefing with your children. They're to be taught as a lifestyle. We're to be lifestyle learners and pass that on as so it can be a lifelong learners for all of us. Be conversational with your children. Have the conversations. It's not so much sit down and indoctrinate them. Your lifestyle, the way you live, the way you talk, the way you converse are teaching moments. Which brings us to number 10. Children are teachable and trainable. Children are teachable and trainable. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he or she should go. Just a quick explanation. Now, teaching is kind of transferring information to them and concepts and all that, but training is when you do things side by side. It's kind of like teaching somebody to tie a young man to tie a tie, or to hit a baseball, or pilots taught to fly a plane. There's teaching, you know, the concepts, but then they got to get in a training plane and a trainer's with them, and side by side they fly the trainer first for several weeks, and then gradually passes on the privilege to fly the plane gradually to the student until you come to that time when they're able to solo. That's training. So it's lifestyle, it's hands-on, not just, you know, knowledge and information. That's the starting place, teachable, but they're trainable. Do stuff with them, hands-on. Number 11, children are moldable and guidable. I love this in Proverbs 22:6, the second part. The first part said, train up a child in the way they should go. And then it said, even when he grows older, he will not depart from it. It's kind of the picture of a green twig. You take a green twig and you tie it. You can tie it together and kind of make a circle when it's green. But then once it dries, it's still a circle. That's kind of the idea. You take a dried twig and try to bend it in a circle, it's going to snap. So children are moldable and guidable. Don't pass up the opportunity. It's a golden era when they're young and hungry and asking all those questions. You're molding them because children are moldable and guidable. Number 12, children are to be disciplined with wisdom. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and the rebuke give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way, well, brings back shame to his family. Don't ever discipline children with anger and punitively and beating them. That's child abuse. But when you discipline them with wisdom, that is what makes all the difference, in gentleness. Number 13, children are childlike and childish. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child, but became a man and I did away with childish things. So childlikeness is that sense of wonder and trust. That's good. The Lord wants us to be childlike. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those that are childlike. Childish is having a tantrum and wanting my way and whining and pushing and stuff. Well, you need to be trained out of that. So children are childlike and childish. Well, the Lord, our family pastor, also wants us to know, number 14 here, children are to be tenderly weaned. Tenderly weaned. Psalm 131, verse 2. I have certainly soothed and quieted my soul like a weaned child resting against his mother. My soul within me is like a weaned child. I love this. It's the idea of gradual teaching, gradual training, gradual helping them understand that they are loved, but they're not always going to be right by mama's side or daddy's side, but they're to be tenderly weaned and always in this metaphor here, as they're growing older. Number 15, children are to be groomed to fly. They're groomed to fly. Psalm 127:4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. I love this. So you are actually shaping them like arrows throughout their youth, their childhood and their teen years, because you are going to launch them to fly on their own. Never lose sight of that, my friends. Wow. Love that. Number 16, children yearn for loving fathers. Number 17, children yearn for winsome fathers. I'm going to put these together. Malachi 4:6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Children yearn for loving fathers. Do you yearn to be with your kids and spend time with them, or are you a distant father, emotionally distant? Oh, my friends, they yearn for loving, involved people who love them, fathers who love them. 17. Children yearn for winsome fathers. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Oh, my friends, there are different ways to coach children. There's different coaching styles, and kids are so different. We cover that in how we all have gifts that differ according to the gifts given to us. So fathers, they want a winsomeness from you. They don't want to be exasperated. Don't be harsh. Don't be hard. Don't be constantly berating them, lest they become discouraged. That's what this is saying in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. They want winsome fathers. Those that have a joy of the Lord. They provide breathing space. They laugh. Is there laughter in the walls of the home? Are you cultivating that as family pastors, as a mother and a father? Oh, I hope so. That's one of the signs of a healthy family, that there is laughter. You do enjoy each other. There's a winsomeness. There's a breathing space. Think of that this summer when you're in close proximity now that they're out of school. Number 18, children are to be disciplined with vision. Hebrews 12:7. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Well, you discipline with vision. It's temporary pain right now for tomorrow's joy. Do your work while they're young. Help them understand that there are consequences to disobedience and to misbehavior and to bad attitudes. You know, you don't do them a favor to not discipline them, but you don't want to do it harshly. You don't want to do it just because you're mad and you want to get back at them. That's child abuse. But when you have the vision that you are training them out of bad behavior, because if you don't, it'll get even worse and the consequences will be far more severe if they do the same kind of thing with the same attitude when they're older, you're doing them a great favor. That's how you love them. You love them by disciplining them with vision. Well, as we're starting to wind this down now, the Lord is our family pastor who yearns for us to know all these things, including number 19, that children are to be helpful and respectful. 1 Timothy 3 verses 4 is the context is the qualifications for elders. And it says that elders and deacons too, they are one who have his children in submission with all reverence. Listen, there are no passes in the adult years. We just assume that the teenage years are going to be rebellious, they're going to be insolent, they're going to be disrespectful and all. Listen, if you do your work when they're younger, you know, under 10, and you teach them to be helpful and respectful around the house and respectful toward one another and respectful toward their mom, respectful toward you, and as they get older, you continue just to winsomely and wisely and with vision and with tenderness, you are just demonstrating that in your own heart, and you're not allowing anything beyond that, and you call them on it. You know, we had this thing, if kids were having a fight with one another when the boys were little, some toy, we would just calmly go in and say, hey, wait a minute, I tell you what, brothers, sisters are way more important than things, so you've got 1 minute to settle this with this toy. And you know what? If you can't, then the toy goes in the trash. Because again, family, brothers, sisters are way more important than toys. And in about 15 seconds, they usually had it settled. But we would not allow the children to have that you know, rivalry between them and get fierce. No, no, no. We would call them short on that, say, no, 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 no. We are to be helpful and respectful to one another and to mom and to dad. And that includes the chores when they get older. Do it together. Do it with them. Don't make them do their chores. Don't make them pull their weight, you know, and stuff. That's a harsh way to do it. No, we do this together. We're in this together. It's about learning to be helpful and respectful. I love that. And then number 20, as we wind this up, children are our honored heirs, not slaves. Children are our honored heirs, not slaves. Galatians 4, 5 through 7 puts it this way, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters, crying out, Abba, Father, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. My friend, this is a clear picture that the Lord is our family pastor, that we are his honored heirs, not slaves. We're adopted into the kingdom. Another passage that says we're born again, or adopted as sons and daughters. We're born again into the family of God. And we're not to be, he doesn't treat us as pets. He treats us as people. We're not to treat our kids as pets. They are people, and they're our earthly honored heirs, not slaves. And all of us who are children of God are honored heirs, not slaves. Oh, he is our family pastor. I love this, and I hope this is helpful for you as you, this summer in particular, when they're all underfoot, that they see your heart to be a family pastor, just like the Lord is our family pastor. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this time together, this journey of seeing how you love us this way. We're to be childlike and trust you in all things and receive your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, our family pastor.